passage of Scripture, or this passage of Scripture, speaks very warmly yet forcefully to the needs of man. It covers the source of peace, joy, and security. Today we're going to look at just one of those words, and that word would be peace. One of those things that every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that ever lived needs is peace in their lives. In a world full of turmoil, strife, wars, deceit, a world full of all kinds of problems, if you just look around you, you see problem after problem after problem, situation after situation that just creates turmoil in our lives and makes us wonder sometime if you're not careful, if there's even a God. If there is a God, why does he allow all this stuff to happen? Well, I'm not going to try to break that down for you today. I don't think I have time or knowledge enough to do that. But I want you to know something. Although it's difficult to find real peace, and it's difficult to maintain real peace, a real sense of genuine peace, it is possible to have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Let's read our scripture, John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go to the Father, and for my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Now Jesus was getting ready to die. He was giving instruction to his disciples. But I like that part where he says, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Not as the world would give, I give you. Don't let your heart be troubled, and don't let your heart be afraid. Don't be afraid. Have peace. So there's a couple of things I want to share with you before I get into the body of this sermon today. But first, before we do that, I want to pray. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, the name by which to which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess one day that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God, I bring today, your Lord, this congregation to you. And I ask, Lord, that you'd open the ears of our heart and our understanding, and help us, Lord, grasp your word today in a way, Lord, that would benefit and uplift these people, as well as bring glory to you. Amen and amen. Like I say, there's a couple of things I want to bring to your attention before I get to the body of this sermon today. And number one, that peace with God does not mean escapism. To have peace with God doesn't mean escapism. Or escapism means a quiet atmosphere, or the absence of trouble, or the control of situations by positive thinking, or the denial of problems, nor the ability to keep from facing reality. Peace from God doesn't mean you're not going to face reality, and you're not going to have problems, and you're not going to have situations in your life that you absolutely abhor. You're going to have them practically every day. It might be through sickness, it might be through job loss, it could be relationship problems, it could be any number of things. But having peace with God doesn't mean you escape all that. It means that through all of that, you have this calm assurance, blessed assurance, that Jesus is mine. And so it also doesn't mean, peace with God does mean the sense and knowledge that one has been restored, has restored his relationship with God. Peace with God means you know you have restored your relationship with God. That you are no longer separated and alienated from God. That you have now been reconciled to God. That you are now accepted by God. that you've been freed from the wrath and judgment of God, that you are freed from fearing the wrath and judgment of God, that you are pleasing God, and that one is at peace with God. The peace of God lets you know those things. Everything's all right, regardless of what's going on in your life. Regardless of circumstances you're facing day by day, minute by minute sometimes, you still have peace with God. You are at peace with God because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the source of peace is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. Money won't get you this peace. A new boyfriend or girlfriend or an adulterous affair or fornication of some sort will not get you this peace. A change of scenery or change of jobs or a change of locations where you live will not bring this peace. A vacation home in the Bahamas won't bring you the peace of God that I'm talking about. It may bring you some moments of happiness, for the pleasures of this world are just for a season. It might bring you some happiness, and remodeling your home brings you momentary happiness. Man, I mean, we remodeled our house twice the last 4 years. We remodeled not the whole house. We remodeled our kitchen, and a couple years later, we remodeled our living room, not by choice, but by need. And it brought happiness. And when we sat there in our new living room, I still look at it, I was like, man, this is nice. And I look from my easy chair into the kitchen, I was like, man, that's nice. And I'm proud for that. I'm glad for that. But that's not the source of my peace. That's something that I've been able to obtain that brings some fleeting happiness in my life, but rest assured, one day that will all wear out. Knobs will fall off the cabinets. Something will happen to stain the countertops. The flooring will be worn. It's just things. It's just things. The source of peace is Jesus Christ. If you want to have peace with God, it's only because of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:25 says this: whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. What's that say? It's because of God sending Jesus that you are saved today through faith in His blood. Jesus became God, became sin and experienced God's wrath on your behalf, so that you could have peace with God. You can't satisfy God's wrath. If you was to die on a cross today, it wouldn't satisfy God's wrath. It's already been satisfied through the blood of Jesus. And you have to accept that. Peace simply means this: to bind together. To bind together, to join together, to weave together. It means a person is bound, woven, and joined together with himself and with God and with others. We're bound together with Jesus today and with God through Jesus Christ. And because of that, we're bound together as a church family. Not just this family, but the entire family of God. I have Christian brothers in India that pray for me. At George Palmer House in, I couldn't tell you the name, somewhere near Vijaywada, India. I don't know where it's at. It's over there in that country. I've been there twice, but I couldn't tell you how to get there if I had to. I know how to get to Vijaywada. You buy airplane tickets and they'll get you there. Other than that, I can't get you there. But I have an Indian brother there that prays for me. I've met brothers in Panama now that they are probably praying for us today. We have people around the world that are praying for us. And we're woven together with them because we are part of the body of Christ. Amen? And so where no man stands alone, none of us stand alone, but we are bound together. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. I probably didn't say it quite right, but shalom. It means freedom from trouble and a whole lot more than that. It means experiencing the highest good, enjoying the very best, possessing all the inner good possible. It means wholeness and soundness. It means prosperity in the widest sense, especially in the spiritual sense of having a soul that blossoms and flourishes. When they say shalom, they want you to be prosperous. When they say shalom, they want you to have absence of turmoil in your life, although they know it's not going to be possible on this side of heaven. Yet they wish that on you. When you say peace to somebody, you should be wishing that everything would go well in their lives, not just for that moment, not just for that day, but for their entire lifetime, knowing in your heart that it probably won't happen, but yet you wish that for them. Because because you wish the highest good for others. Amen? As a Christian, you want the highest good for others. But shalom means simply that. We want you to be free from trouble if you can. We want you to experience the highest good, enjoy the very best that God has to offer. But I'll tell you what, the very best God has to offer. You may not have a lot of money today. You may never live in a mansion. You may never even get to go to Panama City and see the Trump Towers. I got to see the outside of it. They wouldn't let me inside. I didn't try. I'm just kidding. You may never get to go to some faraway land. You may never have a mansion here. But if you have experienced and put your faith in Jesus Christ, man, that's the highest good anybody could do for you, is to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, to prepare a place that you can go one day and experience Him forever and forever and forever. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what He did for us. And so, let's get to the meat of this, to the body of this sermon today. There's three or four points I want to make and several sub-points, so I have to hurry. There's the peace of the world. The world says they can offer you some peace. We see television commercials. I mean, you know, if you buy a Buick, you have real peace. Well, that's what they say. That's what they make you feel. You need to buy a Buick. Well, haven't you seen them commercials? You need to buy a Buick, or you need to drink this type of beer. You need to have some wine. You need to have this. You need to have that. You need to have, you know, be surrounded by beautiful people or whatever it might be. The world offers you a piece of escapism. They'll offer you a piece of avoiding trouble or refusing to face things, or they'll offer you unreality, because what they offer you is not real peace. What they offer you is not real joy. What they offer you is not really of God most times, more times than not. It's not of God. God offers real peace. There's that peace of the world. It is peace that is sought through pleasure. It's a peace that's sought through satisfaction, contentment, the absence of trouble, positive thinking, denial of your problems. That's not real peace. Even the old rock bands that sing you songs like, I can't get no satisfaction. Why is that? Because although they have everything possible afforded in this life, and they have all sorts of sordid relationships, and they have all the drink and all the drugs and all the fame and fortune that they could possibly handle, they still are not happy. They still don't have any peace. There's still no contentment. But as Christians, God offers us contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You may never have all those things. You may never achieve fame and fortune like a movie star or some comedian. It'll go nameless, who took his life recently. And different articles and different interviews with him, he admitted that he had sold his soul to Satan for the fame and fortune. It's all over the internet. It's everywhere. Maybe they can't believe everything you read, but my point is, he acknowledged that there was a higher power that would work in him when he was on the stage to make him successful. And that same power worked on his mind and worked on his psyche and worked on his spiritual man till finally he destroyed him. The pleasures of sin are only for a season. That's what the world offers you. Why do you think the suicide rate's so rampant? Because there's no real peace outside of God. And people open themselves up for all sorts of things, and they will not ever receive it. Not receive the real peace they need until they turn to God. So, preacher, you're just a little bit, it's not good. Well, there is a peace of Christ, and there's a peace of God. There's a peace the world offers will not bring peace. It brings temporary satisfaction. It'll bring temporary joy, made some temporary, you know, and I'm not saying people in the world don't know Christ. None of them are, all of them are all just totally unhappy. They're all lost. They don't know Christ. They're lost. And they may be very successful. They may have really good lives. But I'm going to tell you something. They don't have the real peace that you and I have today. And they'll never experience it outside of Jesus. They may have all their wants met, all their needs met. But they'll never have real peace until they have Jesus Christ. Never. I can't hardly even get a witness out here today. That's okay. I know God gave me the message. Then there's the peace of Christ and of God. First, this is a bosom peace. A peace that's deep within. down inside of you spiritually. A peace that surpasses understanding. We'll get to that later probably. It's a tranquility of your mind, a composure, a peace that is calm in the face of bad circumstances and situations. It's just a peace that just transcends all principalities and all problems. It just, it looks beyond the problems and it sees the Savior. And it sees the hope and the help that comes only from God. So there's a peace that's down inside of us that we have because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's a good peace. And it's more than feelings. It's even more than attitudes or thoughts. It's more than just, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. It's, I have a knowing that everything's going to be all right. There's turmoil all around me and my life seems to be going nowhere, and it seems like everything is coming against me, but in spite of all this coming against me, I have a calm assurance that everything is all right. So I just base my joy and I base my feelings not upon what I feel and what's going on, but upon what I know. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my hope is in God. So regardless of what happens, I put my faith, I put my hope in Him. And so I have that bosom peace. It's more than feelings. Second, it's a peace of conquest. In other words, it's a peace independent of conditions and environment. It's independent of conditions and environment. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter the conditions that my life is in. My peace is independent. Dependent of that, the peace which no sorrow, no danger, no suffering, no experience can take away. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, these things, he says, I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't care what you're going through today. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us and continues to work in and through us. Jesus Christ. He says, be of good cheer. Cheer up. You're going to have problems, but don't worry about it. I have overcome the world. And greater is He that lives in us than he that lives in the world. Why is that? Because He that lives in us has overcome the world. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So it's more than just my attitude and my thought. It's a peace. Independent of all conditions around me. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter today. I want you to get a hold of this if you can. It doesn't matter today. We have peace. The peace of God. Third is a peace of assurance. It's a peace of unquestionable confidence. You get the peace of God, you don't question God. You may look at your surroundings and if you don't, you may have to shake yourself every now and then. I do. Because sometimes things get to looking really bad. Sometimes things feel pretty bad. Sometimes it just looks hopeless. But I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, don't question God. It's a peace of assurance. We can sing that old hymn, the blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. What a foretaste of glory divine. He's ours today. It's unquestionable confidence in Him. It's a peace of assurance. The peace that with a sure knowledge that one is in God, that we are in the hands of God and all things work together for the good to them that love God, to those called according to His purpose. It's going to be all right, according to Romans 8:28. I'll move on. Fourth, it's a peace that brings intimacy with God. It's a peace of the highest good. It brings you closer to God. It's a peace that settles the mind, strengthens the will, and establishes your heart. You just know that you know that you know. I'm in love with my Savior, and He's in love with me. He is my peace. He's my hope. He's my joy. I have this intimacy with Him. If I need Him, I know He's there. He's my Heavenly Father. I can go and say, Abba, Father, or hey, Daddy, I need some help today. Can you give me some assurance today in my prayer time? If you really have this peace, you will develop a time of prayer with God. It develops an intimacy with Him where you desire to be with Him. You desire to be around Him. It's a peace that'll settle your mind, strengthen your will, and establish your heart. Everything's going to be well. And then there's the source of peace. Number three, the source of peace. There's the peace of the world. There's the peace of Christ and of God. And then there's the source of peace. Peace is most always, generally, born out of reconciliation. And the peace I'm talking about is certainly born out of reconciliation. Its source is only found in reconciliation with Jesus Christ. It's the only way you'll get this peace. Real peace always has to do with personal relationships, especially this peace. A relationship with a man to himself, to God, and to his fellow man. A reconciliation. I want to say, just drop this little nugget in there right quick, if I may. If you really get this peace of God and you really have a relationship with Christ, it'll bring peace between you and other people. It don't mean you might not have some problems every once in a while, but you'll seek the avenue of peace and reconciliation with your fellow man. You're always looking for an avenue of reconciliation. And that kind of hurts, don't it? But it's the truth. You try to reconcile. I get a little weary of people who call themselves by the name of Jesus who don't like other people or have had problems in the past and they are still harboring ill feelings when they should have already gotten past it and forgiven them and moved on. Now, there are some grievous things that's happened in the body of Christ, and you may not want to run with those people again. You may not want to be around them very often, if at all, because you know there'll be hurt there or they'll cause some hurt towards you, so you stay away. But you have to forgive them. You have to truly forgive them. It's born out of reconciliation. Real peace has to do with a man, his relationship to himself, to God, and to his fellow man. A man must be bound, woven, and joined together with himself and with God and with others. I know it's difficult, but it's important. Reconciliation. Ephesians 2:13 says this, but now in Jesus ye were some who were sometimes far, were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Jesus, you who were afar off, separated from God, have been brought near to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Does that make it plainer? And it goes on to say, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There was a wall that was established by God, but Jesus Christ, through His blood and us accepting the blood through faith, the forgiveness through faith, that wall of partition between us and God has been broken. And the same wall of partition between us and others should be broken. And there should be reconciliation. Colossians 1:20 and verse 21, 20 and 21 says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He hath reconciled. Now hath He reconciled. You were enemies in your mind. You were divided. You were away from God, but through the blood of Jesus, you have been reconciled, brought near to God. Hallelujah. That's shouting ground. I was separated. No hope. And Jesus died to tear down the wall of partition so that I could come near to God, so that I could have the real peace of God. Real peace is only attained through the cross, at the cross, through Jesus. Can I repeat that? Real peace is only found at the cross through Jesus Christ. You won't have real peace outside of Him. A man secures the peace, real peace, in the following manner. Number one, by justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, Romans 5 and 1, it says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been justified by faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood. We have appropriated it through faith. And now we have been reconciled with God. So you can only have real peace through by justification, therefore being justified by faith in His blood. And I'm going to tell you something else here. You got to drop this in here. You must repent of your sins. You can't hold on to your sin to have peace with God. Number two, by loving God's Word. You want to have real peace, you're going to have to fall in love with God's Word. Psalms 119, 160, verse 165 says, great peace have they which love the law. What's the law? The commandments of God, the Word of God. And nothing shall offend them. And offend here means cause them to stumble, cause them to fall, or become a stumbling block to them. If you want real peace, you must love the Word of God, and nothing will cause you to stumble, fall, or become a stumbling block to you when you are in the Word of God. The devil can't give you anything, can't put nothing in your path that'll cause you to stumble when you're in the Word of God. But if you're not reading the Word, you're not studying the Word, you're not in love with the Word of God, then the devil can put all kinds of stumbling blocks. He'll bring offenses to you. He'll cause you to doubt God. But get in the Word! Jesus said, John 16, I read it already, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So you say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Get in the Word and read the words of Jesus. Read the words of the psalmist and understand that in this world you can have peace in spite of the tribulation. You want real, secure, real peace? You're going to have to pray about everything. Need to pray once in a while. We talked about that last Wednesday night in here. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then what happens? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It doesn't happen if you're not been justified. It doesn't happen if you don't love God's Word. It doesn't happen if you're not praying this peace that God says. He says, be careful in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. In other words, have a time of prayer with God, and then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your heart in mind. Why so many people in turmoil? Why so many people's minds just, they don't know what to do and it's running away with themselves and they have no peace? It's because they're not reading the Word and they're not praying and seeking God. They're not doing the things that God says. If you want the real peace of God, we're just trying to just get through life on our own. It don't work, Christians. And number four, if you want the real peace of God, you must be spiritually minded. Spiritually minded. Romans 8 and 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Too many carnal Christians, if there's such a thing. I think we've, by saying that, just like I've said it, calling people carnal Christians, we've opened up a Pandora's box and allowed people just to pick and choose what they want to do. Other than line themselves with the Word of God. Well, I'm still a Christian, but I can do this and I can do that and I can go here and I can go that and it doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. If you're carnally minded, it is spiritual death. Number five, you have to have your mind upon God by staying your mind upon God. Isaiah 26 and 3. Says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. God gives peace to those who think about God, who line their lives up to God's Word, who are constantly thinking. Said, preacher, we can't have fun like that. I beg to differ. I have fun all the time. But I'm thinking about God a lot. If I'm on my tractor, I'm thinking about the Lord. I might be singing a song. I just might be praying. I might think of one of y'all and say, oh, Lord, I hadn't prayed for them today. I need to pray for them. I mean, you know, going through my daily routine, our mind is on the Lord. And I'm just going through life. We're having fun. We're going out and eating. It's when we want to. We're still having doing life. But my mind's on the Lord. And it goes on to say in Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brethren, I'm going to get to a good point, brethren. Whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. What do we think on? Oh, well, the newest television show, the newest series, the this and that. We don't think on pure things and holy things and honest things and just things and things of a good report, things of good virtue. We don't think about giving God praise. We're going through life and just living our life the way we want to. No wonder you have no peace. No wonder your life's in turmoil constantly. Well, preacher, that's good for you. You're a preacher, and preachers are supposed to be, supposed to be like that. Well, I'm a Christian first. I'm a member of the human race first, then I'm a Christian. Then I'm a pastor. I go through the same things you go through. I have the same temptations, the same heartaches, the same trials, everything just like you do. But I've learned to lean on Him. That's something we sang that once. Well, I lean on you, Lord, for the things that I need, I lean on you. Well, we've learned to lean on God. Just how we do it. Number 6. You really want the peace of God? Keep His commandments. Isaiah 48:18 says this, "Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments." Explanation point there in the scripture, if I'm not mistaken, or is that I might have added that one, but I believe it's there. Is it? I thought it was. So let's read it a little bit with more emphasis. And to do that, I yell, okay? It's like the psalmist is saying, and he's hollering at a group of people, "Oh, that thou hast hearkened to the Lord's commandments! Then your peace would be like a river and your righteousness as waves of the sea." Come on, church. No wonder we're not where we need to be. No wonder we're in turmoil. No wonder we lack peace because we're not following God's word. Just hearken. It says, then your peace is like a river. What's that mean? It just flows and flows and flows and just keeps running down over you. Sort of like going to Ezekiel 40-something chapter and it's talking about this river that's flowing from the throne of God, and it starts out ankle deep, and pretty soon it's mid-calf, and then pretty soon it's up to your thighs, and pretty soon it's just sweeping all over and you can't hardly swim in it because it's so great. What's what God's saying? Keep my commandments and you'll have so much peace, and it'll just be so much you can just get your just lay back and just float downstream. There's so much peace overwhelming you. The peace of God. In closing, the only real peace we have is in the Lord. Through Him, through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God that's brought about by salvation. Through Christ Jesus, we have the very peace of God Himself, which points to God as the only true source of peace. Through Jesus, we have peace from God, which God gives to dwell in the heart of the believer as he walks day by day in the Lord. We have peace of God, and we have the peace from God. Same thing, but you understand when you get the peace of God, you have the peace from God that helps you walk through every day. The peace that God gives us through Jesus Christ means that we are woven together, joined together with Christ and God. We live and we breathe every day the peace of God. It is part of our very being, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. You say, "Well, I don't know, Pastor, how to have peace with God this morning." Well, let me tell you how. First off, you need to recognize your need. You're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Recognize your need. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. must admit we need a Savior. Secondly, after you admit you need a Savior, repent of your sins. Sin creates a wall that separates us from God. By confessing your sins and turning to Jesus, the Bible promises if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number three, believe in Jesus. You want to have real peace? Recognize your need, repent of your sins, and believe in Jesus. God wrought a miracle when He sent Jesus to earth to pay for our sins, a great miracle. Put your faith in Him and believe in His power to save you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Number four, receive it. Receive your salvation. Receive it. Simple put. God has given you the gift of His Son, but we must receive the gift. It's like a Christmas gift or a birthday gift. It's yours. It's there. Your name's on it. If you don't go get it, receive it, open it up, it'll do you no good. Maybe the pair of shoes you needed for months. If you don't open it, it'll do you no good. But as many as received Him, He gave the right to become children of God. And number five, once you become a Christian, confess your faith. Confess your faith. If we confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. If you don't know Christ as your Savior today, as we sing this song, I want to invite you to come. If somebody comes to the altar, I want somebody to come with them. Let us try to sing. We're going to try to sing this, and the girls can step up and help us. I want the peace of God. How about you? The real peace of God. Peace.